Entertained a motion to come back into regular session for public hearings. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We're now back into regular session, public hearings. Mr. Rutt.
Thank you. This is the time and place for public hearings before the County Council. Before we commence, let me read the procedures, the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When County Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings. Because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with the council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any person who opposes or questions the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself, and if you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already made. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, Council will do otherwise. The first matter before the Council this afternoon is conditional use number 1992, filed on behalf of W. Ralph Brumbly, entitled An Ordinance to Grant a Conditional Use of Land in an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a Vendor Lunch Truck to Sell Foods and Beverages to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 16,820.70 square feet, more or less, land lying northeast of Route 1, Coastal Highway across from Route 5, Union Street Extended, with a 911 address of 12209 Coastal Highway, Milton, being tax parcel number 235-7.00-44.00. Mr. Abbott?
Mr. Rutt, I noticed that Mr. Brumley's not here. I'm not sure if anyone's here representing him. And you may want to go to the next application.
Yeah, we'll just defer that if that's
sure.
line with council. Okay.
Fine.
Then we will go to the next item on the agenda, conditional use 1993, filed on behalf of David J. Bosco, entitled An Ordinance to Grant a Conditional Use of Land in an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a paintball park to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke Hundred, Sussex County, containing 5.1345 acres, more or less, being land lying east of Route 600, St. Johnstown Road, 1,760 feet north of Road 597, Tucker's Road, with a 911 address of 14639 St. Johnstown Road, Greenwood, and being tax parcel number 438.009.02. Mr. Abbott?
The Planning Commission held public hearings on all these applications on August the 7th of this year. For this case, the Commission received written comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. The applicant was present, gave a presentation, and responded to questions raised by the Commission. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. On the 7th, the Commission deferred action for further consideration. On August 21st of this year, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1993 for David J. Bosco for a conditional use for a paintball facility based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use as a paintball facility will occur on the weekends and will not have an adverse effect on neighboring properties, roadways, or the community. Two, there are currently very few paintball facilities in Sussex County. This will serve a need for such a facility in Sussex County for county residents and others who participate in the sport. Three, the use will occur only on a part of the applicant's 5.1-acre site and a property surrounded by other property which is owned by family members. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. And five, this recommendation is, however, subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to paintball and activities related to it. Sales of paintball-related items shall also be permitted. B, as stated by the applicant, the facility shall only be open on Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. C, one lighted sign shall be permitted not to exceed 32 square feet in size. D, as stated by the applicant, the use will only occur on the north side of the site to the left of the dwelling that is located on the property. The area used for paintball shall be entirely enclosed with netting or fencing. The final site plan shall show the exact location of the area specified by the applicant for the conditional use. E, the area set aside for parking shall be clearly identified on the final site plan and on the site itself. And F, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, and it carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0. I passed down a copy of the site plan that was submitted, and we've not received any additional correspondence.
Thank you. Is anyone here on behalf of the applicant? Ma'am, you want to come forward? Now you have to sign in and also state your name.
My name's Amy Robb. David Bosco was unable to come because he had to work today. The property in question is mine, and my family owns the farm around it. We fully support the paintball field, and just didn't know if you had any more questions or anything about it.
Where exactly on this map is the field?
It will be this part of this pasture and these two.
Okay.
Also.
Right now, they're pastures.
Right, we've taken down the fence here, so we just have the one in the front, but the perimeter fence is still attached.
Okay.
For the record, is that's what identified as lot one on the...
Yes. Well, I think lot one is the entire property, because that's 5.13 acres. I think that's the total property.
Lot one has the total site, Mr. Rutt.
Okay, because the application says that it is for conditional use 5.1345.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear, is it just this area that...
This area will be for the field, and parking will be...
So it's over on this side here where you're talking about.
Correct. Yes.
Here.
What else do we have to read? Anything else?
Okay.
Do you have anything else to offer?
No. Was there another site plan required?
No, you're
no. Title read.
Okay.
Right. No, we just wanted to be clear.
We need the title, yeah.
I want to ask you a question. What's in the paint? I've never been to one of these. What's in that paint?
It's a vegetable oil-based paint with a, it's a harder but pliable shell.
Mm-hmm.
And when it hits you, the shell breaks and
the oil paint
comes mm-hmm. out. And that's how you know that you've been hit.
But it cannot harm you in any way?
No, it's non-toxic. And most of the ones now are biodegradable, so mm-hmm. they just dissolve into the ground and mm-hmm. nothing's left after.
It's like an oil then.
Okay. Any further questions with Ms. Robb?
Maybe the council would like to go out for, and partake in a demonstration. And
I can think of somebody I'd like to aim at.
Deaver's Commandos.
That's up to you, Mr.
Any more questions, Council?
No, okay. Not right now.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
Is
you.
There anyone here to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Thank you. That closes the public hearing portion.
We'll close the public hearing, and if that's okay with Council, close public comment.
Yep.
I asked Mr. Rutt to read the short title.
Yeah, read it.
This would be an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a paintball park to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke Hundred, Sussex County, containing 5.1345 acres, more or less, tax map ID 430-8.00-9.02. And that would be for reasons given by planning and zoning as items 1 through 4 and conditions 5A through 5F as read by Mr. Abbott concerning, or that is also contained in your package.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion to pass.
Yeah.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mrs. Deaver, to approve conditional use 1993 with conditions. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, I'm voting yes. Based on the reasons that planning and zoning gave and with the conditions that were just stated.
Mr. Cole.
I vote yes for the same reasons as Mrs. Deaver.
Mr. Phillips.
I vote yes. It's a low-impact use. Obviously, it does not concern the neighbors. The planning and zoning approved it with all the appropriate findings.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on the recommendation of PNZ. It's that what you call out in the boondocks. I don't see any problems at all.
Also, based for the reasons and with the conditions as placed by planning and zoning, I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Next thing is going to be Mr. Wilson out there with a paintball.
Mm-hmm.
I know it worked. I know the surveyor, and I also know the right where the land's at. So okay. I see them roll with it.
So you can find it.
You can find it.
Okay. I know exactly where she's at.
All right. The next matter is change of zone 1755, filed on behalf of Bunting Gray, LLC, an ordinance to modify condition number 1 and to delete conditions number 2 and number 15 imposed on ordinance number 1532 for change of zone number 1460. The application of Bunting Gray, LLC, for the refuge at Derrickson Creek, an MRRPC medium density residential district, residential planned community to increase the maximum number of allowable dwelling units from 343 units to 355 units, of which no more than 68 units shall be multifamily units, and to eliminate the B1 neighborhood business uses permitted by ordinance number 1532 on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 3.3494 acres more or less, land lying north of Route 54, Lighthouse Road, 0.06 miles east of Route 381 or Old Mill Bridge Road, with no 911 address and being identified as tax map ID number 533-12.00-674.00. Mr. Abbott?
I passed down a copy of the approved ordinance number 1532. That's for change of zone number 1460. I passed down a copy of a portion of the approved master plan for the commercial and also a proposed site plan for the additional residential units. Also in front of you, there's an exhibit booklet that was also submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for their hearing. The commission received written comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, a letter from an attorney representing the Homeowners Association about their requirements of approving the request. The applicants were present with legal representation. They gave a presentation, responded to questions raised by the commission. There was one person that was present in support of this application and advised the commission that the proposed units would fit in better than commercial use of the property. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. On August the 7th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. And on the August 21st of 2014, they discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1755 for Bunning Gray LLC to modify condition number 1 and delete conditions number 2 and 15 that were imposed in ordinance number 1532 for change of zone number 1460 regarding the MRRPC development known as the Refuge at Derrickson Creek, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, in summary, this is a request to delete the commercial area established as part of the original approval of this MRRPC project and use the area for additional dwellings. The net increase to the entire project will be an additional 12 units. The residential portion of the MRRPC is already substantially complete, with most of the single family and townhouse units sold. Three, the applicant has stated that the commercial area that was planned for the project is no longer viable since other commercial areas already exist along the Route 54 corridor, including a property next door. Four, the additional townhouses will be integrated into the overall project and will be more compatible with the adjacent homes built within the Refuge at Derrickson Creek development. Five, the elimination of the commercial area will reduce the impervious area of the overall development. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to the application, and one party appeared in favor of it. In addition, the applicant stated that a majority of the residents are in favor of the conversion of the area from commercial use to residential use. However, since this conversion will require an amendment to the governing condominium documents, this rezoning must be contingent on that occurring. Seven, it is appropriate to modify condition number 1 of ordinance number 1532 to increase the maximum number of dwelling units and multifamily units so that it states as follows. One, the maximum number of dwelling units shall not exceed 355, of which no more than 68 shall be multifamily units. Eight, it's appropriate to delete condition number 2 in its entirety. Condition number 2 set aside the area to be used for commercial development. Nine, it is appropriate to delete condition number 15 in its entirety. This condition prohibited access from the commercial area directly on Route 54, a condition that is moot with the deletion of the commercial area. 10, this recommendation is, however, subject to the following conditions. A, development of the former commercial area into residential dwellings shall require site plan approval from the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. B, the new residential areas shall be interconnected with the existing residential development. No direct vehicular access to it shall occur from Route 54. It shall also be connected by sidewalks or some type of multimodal path to the rest of the development, preferably in a manner that provides the shortest and most direct walk to the rest of the development and its amenities. This shall be shown on the site plan submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission. C, the commission recognizes that this change in the design of the refuge at Derrickson Creek will require an amendment to the project's recorded governing documents. The commission also recognizes that for this type of amendment, the developer or condominium or homeowners association likewise could not amend the governing documents without approval from Sussex County for the underlying zoning change. This is a unique situation. Therefore, as a result, it is appropriate for this amendment to ordinance number 1532 to only take effect upon the recordation of an amendment to the recorded governing documents of the refuge at Derrickson Creek, allowing conversion from commercial to residential use within 6 months of approval of changes zone number 1755. Proof of recording this amendment must be provided to the Assistant Sussex County Attorney representing the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission within 6 months of County Council's approval of changes zone number 1755. If this does not occur, changes zone number 1755 shall automatically be declared null and void and of no further force and effect without further action of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission or the Sussex County Council, and conditions number 1, 2, and 15 of ordinance number 1532 shall be reinstated as they previously existed in that ordinance. There was a motion and a second. I carry unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0. We've not received any additional correspondence.
Thank you. Is the applicant present?
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmine & Weidman. I represent the applicant, Bunting Gray, LLC, who has proposed a conditional ordinance amendment in order to modify conditions number 1 and to delete condition numbers 2 and 15, which are currently imposed on ordinance number 1532 for change of zone number 1460, in order to increase the maximum number of dwelling units in the residential planned community known as the Refuge at Derrickson Creek, and to eliminate the B1 uses permitted on the parcel, which consists of approximately 3.3494 acres. Also in attendance this afternoon on behalf of this application are Mr. Coleman Bunting and Ron Gray, members of the applicant and developer of the refuge. Mr. Bunting will present background information related to this application. Also Mike Wigley, principal of the engineering firm of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, who will address the engineering aspects of this application. I will conclude this presentation with a brief discussion of the amendment of the declaration and also with this project's compliance with the comprehensive plan and the zoning code. As Mr. Abbott stated, we did submit a booklet for your review and consideration, complete with supporting exhibits as well as proposed findings of fact and conditions. At this point in time, I would like to introduce Mr. Bunting.
Coleman Bunting for Bunting and Gray from Shelbyville. Originally, we had this as part of the RPC, this 3.43 acres was designated as B1, and we have been unable to rent this property on a commercial basis. And with discussions with the homeowners, we determined that it would be better suited for the project to turn this back into townhomes. We originally had 48 townhouses, 56 townhouses approved. We only built 48. So the net increase to the community is only 12 townhomes. Immediately contiguous to this property is a small shopping center that contains a Food Lion, a Walgreens pharmacy, a doctor's office, a physical therapy place, and across, directly across the street we have a convenience store. So the idea of this, the commercial area within the community to serve the community, is being already being met by the contiguous properties. So that is, for that reason, we've decided to pursue residential use of this property. Thank you.
Coleman, on this one, in one of your old pictures here, it showed like a proposed retail store, proposed bank, and then behind it had two proposed apartment buildings. All that's gone.
Right, that's gone.
Okay, so
the apartment buildings was just a study we did.
Okay, so, but in other words, so no apartment buildings and none of the pros, it just puts town out.
Do we need to change that in conditions?
Well, this, they're asking to modify.
If we're covered?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Bunting. At this point in time, I would like to introduce Mike Wigley to discuss the engineering aspects of the application.
Hello, good afternoon. Mike Wigley, principal architect, site planner with Davis Bone and Friedel. And of course, Mr. Abbott did a great job of describing the project, so I'll try to be brief, but maybe show you in graphic form how things have fallen into place. This was the original layout of the refuge property, and it consists of 219 acres, thereabouts, 33 acres of that federal wetlands, 33 acres state wetlands. Another 24 acres is a mix of passive and active recreation. We've got another 24 acres of road shown in there. That gives you some idea of how the overall property lays out. We designed it as though it's a series of neighborhoods where most all of the lots or the units will face onto some type of open space or wetlands, if you will. The portion that we're talking about, excuse me, is this 3.43 acres located on this part of the property, and it constitutes that corner there that you can see between this pond, and this is Route 54 going up and down the page, as you see. Give you some idea of the context. The buildings that you see across the street, that's part of Keenwood West, so it's residential on that side of Route 54. The main entrance to the refuge comes in at this location just east of the property in question. As was mentioned before, the maximum number of units, lots that we're talking about here, are 355. The project was originally designed for 343. 56 of those were intended to be townhouse units that you can see right here. Only 48 of those were built. So we had 8 less to begin with. We're putting in 20, so it's a total of 355, and 12 more units than we were talking about before. So you can see that the townhouses that are going to be proposed in this location are in proximity to those that are already located on the property. The overall density at the 355 is 1.91 units per acre. That's well below the 4 units per acre for a project like this. What I thought I would do is give you some idea of what was proposed originally and then where we're going to be headed with this with the new layout. I've reoriented the drawing here, so Route 54 is now at the bottom of the page. This is the main entrance into the refuge. So what was originally conceived was 28,800 square feet of retail space, and you can see the parking field in front of that that's required to accommodate that amount of space. So in this particular scheme, about half an acre was dedicated to building footprint. The pavement area was about 2 acres. It left an open space area of about 1 acre, 27% of the site. What's being proposed then are 20 townhouses. The building footprint is larger, but you can see that the pavement is much less. And what's happened with the open space then is it pretty much doubles. We're up to 1.8 acres now of open space, which is a little bit over 50% of the total site. There are no wetlands on the property. Going back again to this previous page, the wetlands that do exist adjacent, you can see that we've got a bit more open space buffer now between that and any impervious surface. We've also oriented the building so that they're facing toward, again, amenities similar to the overall project. So they're either facing a pond or the wooded areas of the wetlands. So we think that it works out, you know, very well. It's consistent with the original project design. There is no entrance onto Route 54. We utilize the entrance that ties into the main entrance into the project. We have done some traffic study work. The average daily trip count for weekdays during the summer is about 2,300 less cars with this over the shopping center. And for the weekends, it's about 3,400 total average daily trip count for the project. A few other facts regarding the utilities. The sewer is within the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. There's a pump station located in Shane Park. We did submit in the early part of the year, I think Mr. Cole, that dog that you had noticed, that was submitted to get a, to make sure we were okay on the EDU counts. It was approved for 40-some EDUs. Well, we're now going to be using 20, so it's less than what was approved for the available count on that site. Water is going to be provided by Artesian. Fire protection will be Roxana Fire Department, the Volunteer Fire Company on 54. Electric would be Delaware Electric Co-op, distribution lines on 54. Lines also available for telephone for Verizon and cable TV through Comcast. Stormwater management, we also ran a preliminary plan that was approved. No objection letter was approved or was given to us in January for the plan as it relates to this layout that you can see here. So it's been grandfathered into the old regulations for stormwater management. So that's a quick summary. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have. I know that there's a further presentation, but if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
A townhouse, and that's a single family residence, or is it like, are there any of them?
Actually, it's townhouse style condominiums. So
mm-hmm.
It's actually designed as a condominium, but it would be on two floors.
Uh-huh.
Each has their own garage, their own driveway space, and then we provided one additional parking space for guests.
So that's the parking that you provide for the garage and one additional parking in front of
plus one for guests, so there's three per unit.
Oh, three. That's better than two.
What stage of development is the rest of the project?
Pretty much done.
We only have nine lots left in the refuge, nine single family lots, and we have approximately, let's see, we have nine townhouses left as well. Everything else is sold and occupied.
Any further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Wigley. As stated, this parcel was included in the rezoning approval of the refuge by ordinance number 1532, whereby change of zone number 1460 was approved subject to certain conditions. Of those conditions, we're dealing with three of them today. The first one is condition number one, which placed a maximum number of dwelling units at 343, of which no more than 56 units could be multifamily residential units. Condition number two provides the maximum area of commercial development shall be 1 acre per 100 dwelling units. And then we also have condition number 15, which prohibits direct access from the commercial area on Route 54, except from the existing entrance location serving the site. As stated, to date, this property remains undeveloped due to the lack of interest in commercial uses which are allowed on this property. The refuge is governed by the Declaration of Reservations, Restrictions, Covenants, and Easements for the refuge at Derrickson Creek. Those restrictions are placed of record in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds. The property is identified by the declaration as the commercial area, and as such, it has certain rights and separate rights from other lots and units in the refuge. The owners of any lot or unit in the refuge are, of course, members of the refuge at Derrickson Creek Owners Association. And as Mr. Bunting alluded to, during a recent annual meeting of the association, an owner inquired as to whether the applicant would be interested in considering developing this parcel for townhouses rather than the commercial uses which are permitted under the B1 zoning district. As a result of that inquiry, the applicant did survey the owners at the refuge to determine whether or not the rest of the community preferred the residential use over the commercial use. The majority of the owners who responded to the survey did vote in favor of the change in use. The developer did not vote, so out of 277, 122 voted in favor and 70 opposed. It is the position, however, of the association that the declaration must be amended in order to change the use allowed on this property and to define how that use will interact with or impact the rest of the community. In order to amend the declaration, it's in order to eliminate the commercial uses authorized and to increase the number of multifamily units, it's necessary to obtain the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the total vote, which includes lots and unit owners. The board, as stated earlier, has expressed approval of the change in use from commercial to townhouse units, and that was done via email dated June 18, 2014, in which a board member advised the applicant that, quote, the board is very much in favor of including proposed additional townhomes in our HOA. We feel it is a win-win situation, end quote. Notwithstanding, the board advised that it does recognize that obtaining the requisite number of responses from the owners of the refuge could be a difficult task. As a result, it is necessary that any approval of this application by the council be conditioned upon amending the declaration within 6 months of adoption of the ordinance approving the application. In the event that the applicant is unsuccessful in obtaining the requisite number of votes in order to amend the declaration, we have requested that the conditional amendment become void and that the use revert back to the commercial use, which was authorized by Ordinance Number 1532. And therefore, Condition Number 1, 2, and 15, as originally adopted, would be reinstated at that point in time. Notwithstanding, the proposed use does comply with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, June 2008, and the zoning code. The plan identifies the property as being located in the environmentally sensitive developing area. The plan specifically provides at page 3-16 that the environmentally sensitive developing areas are areas that can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. A range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family homes, townhomes, and multifamily units. Although the applicant did receive approval to improve this parcel with any use permitted in the B1 zoning district, we now seek a downzoning of the property from the allowable uses under the B1 zoning district to townhouses, which are a permitted use in the RPC district. As it is the desire of the applicant at this point in time to maintain the upscale residential nature or character that currently exists at the refuge. The conditional amendment also complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The zoning code provides that the purpose of the RPC district is to encourage large-scale developments as a means of creating a superior living environment, and that's done through unified developments and to provide for the application of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future developments and achieving the goals of the comprehensive plan. The development that we're proposing today will be integrated and interconnected into the existing community. The council did find that the original rezoning of the refuge was appropriate legislative action for the following reasons. One, it met the purpose of the zoning ordinance because it promoted the orderly growth of Sussex County. Two, MR zoning was appropriate for the project site because it's located where central sewer and water are available. Three, it met the purpose of an RPC, which is to encourage large-scale development as a means to create superior living environments. And four, the projects located along Route 54, where projects with density similar to or even greater than the refuge are located. As this application seeks a downzoning of the authorized uses and adds only 12 additional multifamily units, the council's findings are unaltered. As a result, at the request of Mr. Lank, Constance Holland, AICP Director of the Office of State Planning Coordination, waived even the requirement to participate in the PLUS process, and that was done on June 27th, 2014. At this point in time, I would like to invite Mr. Bunting back up to the podium. You've heard the presentation that I've made this afternoon.
Yes.
And is it your opinion that the representations that I've made to the council are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes, they are.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Bunting. For the reasons presented this afternoon, we request that the council approve the applicant's request for a conditional ordinance amendment in order to modify condition number 1 and to delete condition numbers 2 and 15, which were imposed by ordinance number 1532 for a change of zone number 1460, in order to increase the maximum number of allowable dwelling units from 343 to 355, of which no more than 68 units would be multifamily units, and also to eliminate the B1 uses permitted by ordinance number 1532. Again, we request that any approval be conditioned upon the applicant's ability to obtain the requisite number of votes of the association in order to amend the declaration. And we have provided a 6-month period in order to accomplish that, which we feel is a reasonable period of time. In the event that that can't be accomplished, we do request that the amendment become void and that conditions numbers 1, 2, and 15, as originally adopted, be reinstated at that time. Mm-hmm. And we are available for any and all questions that you may have, of course. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for your consideration of our request.
Yeah, I got one.
Cool.
It's right, maybe. The concern about after 6 months that it goes back, I mean, is that, you feel comfortable with that last wording?
In other words, conditioning approval on a 6-month period.
Right, and then it reverts back to the old one if something doesn't happen with the that.
Yes.
Thing. You're okay with all that?
I'm fine with that.
Well, what's the mechanism to do that? You have to have another hearing?
For 6 months, they could not do anything, and they couldn't get permits and so forth. After the 6 months, if they submit the change in the restrictions within the 6-month period, they will have met that condition. If at the end of 6 months they have not, then if you pass or vote to approve the ordinance, it's actually void for failure to meet that condition.
More questions of council?
Don't we have a policy that an applicant's only allowed to have one attorney at a time in the chambers?
I don't know.
No, he's been quiet.
Mr. Sergovic's been quiet, so we'll give him a pass.
And let him slide.
I thought that we had a policy.
Only one's allowed to talk.
Oh, okay. Is that what it was? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Sergovic. Okay.
Thank you, Mrs. Burke.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, the public comment period is over.
We'll close public comment, and if it's okay, the rest of council, close public hearing.
Yes.
And I ask Mr. Rutt to read the short title.
This is an ordinance to modify condition number 1 and to delete conditions number 2 and 15 imposed on ordinance number 1532, for change of zone number 1460, the application of Bunting Gray, LLC, for the refuge at Derrickson Creek, an MRRPC medium-density residential district, residential planned community, to increase the maximum number of allowable dwelling units from 343 to 355 units, of which no more than 68 units shall be multifamily units, and to eliminate the B1 neighborhood business uses permitted by ordinance number 1532 on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 3.3494 acres more or less, and this would be for the reasons given by planning and zoning in 1 through 9 and with conditions set forth in paragraphs 10A through 10C, as read by Mr. Abbott and as contained in your packet.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure, Council.
I have one more question.
Mrs. Deaver.
Did this change the entrance from 54 to another road entrance? I'm trying to look back quickly and see the original plan for the commercial. Are they both using the same entrance?
They're both using the same entrance.
Okay, but not on 54.
Uh-huh.
Good. That's a good thing.
There was never an entrance from 54.
That's good. Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
Thank you.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole.
With those conditions, correct?
With the conditions.
Planning and zoning, that's right. Second.
Okay, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
I vote yes, for the same reasons that planning and zoning gave, and with the same conditions. I noticed that the original ordinance was dated 2001, and they have had evidently had some success over the years. Vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
I vote yes. The result of this will be less traffic will be generated to that part of the project because a commercial can have a much higher traffic counts. So that would be an advantage for an area like Route 54, which already has traffic problems. And I believe this is another example maybe where in the RPC where we permit for that commercial component has not been a workable part of the RPC. And I've seen, a couple RPCs wanting to convert back to residential use. So we might want to look at that in the future, but my vote's yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes. The Homeowners Association supports this, in fact, inspired this, and it's good that the developer is accommodating the folks that are in that development.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on recommendation of P&Z.
I also, with the reasons stated by P&Z and with the conditions placed by P&Z, I also agree. I vote yes. Motion carried. Change of zone 1755 is approved.
Okay. Now you can go build it.
Thank you. The next matter is change of zone 1756, filed on behalf of Delmar